glorious morning it is. Yes, indeed. Well, beloved ones, once again, I say happy Resurrection Day to all of you. Because this is a glorious day, right? We've been waiting for this day. This is the day where we are reminded of so much of God's presence and power and strength and beauty. This is the day that we have hope. This is the day that we know we can overcome anything and everything. This is the day. And so we celebrate. Usually on Christmas or Easter, I like to tell the story. I like us to hear the word. And so listen to this story of the amazing story of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And I'm reading from John 1, verse 1 through 18. It says, early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. And then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying on the side. Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scriptures said he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said, and she turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher, don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. I love to hear the story. This is a powerful one. But I love the fact that Mary Magdalene was the first to see the risen Christ. In fact, she was there at the tomb well before daylight. It said it was still dark, right? But she was there even before daylight at the tomb. Now, can you imagine? She's there thinking that she is there to prepare his body for burial. But to her surprise, when she comes and the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene is such a powerful figure because she can be seen as one of the most devoted disciples of Jesus. And yes,
We consider her a disciple because she was one of his earliest followers amongst several women who followed Jesus. Now, although it is not often spoken of in the Bible, the result of perhaps cultural bias or the signs of the time, and maybe even the time of today. But women were very prominent in the life of Jesus. They were right there with him. Now, metaphysically and spiritually, women represent the feeling nature of the soul. See, you've got to be able to feel deeply that presence of the Christ. Women also represent spiritually our capacity to love deeply and unconditionally, right? That's that feeling, loving, devoted nature of the soul, of that divine feminine that exists within all of us. Because, see, wherever love or commitment or devotion were mentioned in the scriptures, rest assured, one of the Marys was there. Whether it was Mary, the mother of Jesus, who expressed her love and her devotion, right? That she would have a child, not fathered by Joseph, but by the divine presence of God. That she would have the faith to magnify this concept and to be devoted, to look. When he was born, it says she looked upon him and pondered in her heart all these things that were said about her son. Where love and commitment and devotion are mentioned, the Marys are there. Whether it's Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus, and Martha, who made the choice to sit at the feet of Jesus while Martha tended to the other practical things. And Jesus said, I will not take that from her because Mary has chosen the best part. She chose to relish the teachings and to be in the presence and to share her love and her devotion. Or whether it is Mary Magdalene, the one whom Jesus cast out seven demons, where there is love and devotion and commitment, there is one of the Marys. But today I wanted to tell the story of Mary Magdalene. I wanted to tell her story because Jesus apparently thought enough of her to be the first one that he would appear to. And so we want to tell her story. Now, she was among many women who, of course, ministered to the needs of Jesus throughout his travels and throughout his journey in life. She was the one who kept a vigil by the cross along with his mother, Mary. But she was there, keeping that vigil, even though others had departed. She never left his side, even though Peter, who professed to be there always, had denied him three times. But Mary Magdalene was ever present. And she, of course, was the first to come to the tomb while it was still dark. She's there at the tomb. And, of course, the first to whom Jesus appears after the resurrection. Such love and such devotion is something to be honored. And so I'm thinking, even though we know that today is the day that we are celebrating the resurrection of the Christ, I would love for this to also be a day where we remember and we honor and we celebrate the example of deep love and devotion to the Christ. That's what's required, this love and devotion to the Christ within us as well. Because you see, we always have a choice. We can always focus on either Jesus dying for our sins or on the good news that he has risen to show us the way. See, so we are here celebrating this wondrous day. Now, many have speculated regarding Mary Magdalene and her relationship to Jesus, and from whence did this devotion come from? Well, we know the Bible does indeed say that he had cast out 7 demons from her. And so this morning I got up and I looked up demons spiritually and metaphysically, and it just simply means the error thoughts and consciousness that get crystallized in our minds and our hearts that begin to then take over and lead us down the road we do not choose or want to go. Right? And so they're crystallized, 7 negative aspects of thoughts that are ruling her, ruling the consciousness. So if you were to be freed from 7 states of consciousness that have affected your life in a negative way, wouldn't you want to celebrate? Wouldn't you want to be devoted to the one who has freed you? Yes, you'd want to be. So she is free in her spirit and shows that devotion through the Christ. Now, although she is not named as such, many believe her to have once been an immoral woman. It doesn't say that in the scriptures. However, many theologians make this assumption based on this particular scripture. And I'm reading from now Luke 7 through chapter 7, 36 through 50, and 8 through 1 through 3. And it says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. A certain immoral woman heard that he was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who was the host, saw what was happening and who the woman was, he said to himself, "Well, this proves Jesus is no prophet. If God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. I love it. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "All right, teacher," Simon replied, "go ahead." Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to 2 people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't even give me a kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. You neglected the olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who does this man think he is, going around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go
in peace. Now, I tell this story because that Mary Magdalene was devoted to Jesus is without question. Whether she is this woman or the one whom we know, who the Bible clearly says he had cast out seven demons, it matters not. Because Mary Magdalene remains devoted even unto the end. Because when she arrives and she sees that the stone has been rolled away, she runs and she goes and finds Peter, Simon Peter, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and they ran to the tomb. Now, when they get to the tomb, they look in, and all they see is the linen cloth and the kerchief that covered Jesus' body and his head. And not quite sure what had happened, it says, they went home. Look in, nothing's here. Oh, there's the tool, there's the napkin, the linen. All right, go home. But Mary remains. She remains at that tomb, keeping vigil. She's still ever expectant, ever full of hope, wondering what has happened, not willing to leave because she cannot see physical evidence of his presence. She remains there, and even though she is weeping, she looks in. And when Mary looks into the tomb, it's quite a different experience, isn't it? Because she sees two white-robed angels, one at the foot and one at the head. And they ask her, why are you weeping and who are you looking for? She sees something. You see, it's through her devotion and her love that she was able to see what Peter and the other disciple could not see. She could see the angels, and angels spiritually represent a high thought of consciousness, the message of God, messengers of God, right? Or the heavenly host from on high. She's able to see at a different realm and a different level than Peter and the other disciple. Through her love and through her devotion, she's able to open her heart and her mind so she can perceive something deep. And yet, even though she's in that state, she's also overcome with grief. So overcome with grief that she doesn't even recognize Jesus at first. It says she kind of glanced over. She's so busy looking, but she's glancing over and she sees someone. And Jesus also asks her, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Now, if you were here during our Good Friday celebration, that was the same question that Jesus said to those who had come to betray him, right? Who are you looking for? And they replied, Jesus of Nazareth. And what does he say? I am he. And when he says that, they have to fall. They fell out on the ground. So strong and so powerful was his identification of who he was as this. I am he. And so he asks Mary, who are you looking for? Now Mary, you know, is so devoted and so wanting to find out what happens and where is Jesus. And what is so surprising is that she doesn't recognize him. But what happens is, he says, you know, the angels are even saying, why, he's not here. Why are you looking? Why are you looking? There's no need for tears. There's only the need for an enlightened consciousness who can perceive the truth. And it is only after Jesus calls her name and says, Mary, that she recognizes him. And she turns and says, oh, teacher, right? And at that point, she is so filled with joy, so filled with excitement that she wants to just run to embrace him. And he says, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But I'm ascending
to my Father and your Father, my God and your God, but don't cling to me yet. You see, she was so excited, she wanted to cling, to embrace him and to hold him with that joy in her heart, which is what we want to do. She naturally wanted to hold on to the human form that she supposes is appearing to her. But Jesus is not in his human form. For he has now put on the immortal spirit. He has put on his true nature and his true identity as the Christ of God. And he says, don't cling to me, because even in this state, he wants to know that I do not want to be held and bound by the confines of human limitations and human conditions, because I've overcome that, right? I've overcome the world. Don't cling to me. I'm not in this world any longer. I've overcome it. And Jesus said, remember, in John 14, in the world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. So this is overcoming of this human nature that's supplanted now. It's supplanted by his Christ nature. Don't cling to me. Don't hold me back. Don't hold me to this earthly form. For I am ascending. And I thought, you know what? It is time that we stop clinging to the crucified Jesus and start celebrating the ascended Christ. We must celebrate the ascended Christ, because he is no longer on the cross. He is no longer in the tomb. So we must celebrate the ascension of the Christ, the raising up of that Christ nature in Jesus and in us. He is no longer bound or confined by any human limitation. And so when we learn to cling to that Christ, the high-minded Christ, the spiritual Christ that is within us, then we too are set free. We too are able to see and behold the Christ in ourselves and the Christ in others. We awaken. Our eyes are open and we begin to see life differently. I love the way Jesus has to catch Mary and he shakes her out of her grief, right? He wakes her up. He's like, because she's so caught up, she doesn't even recognize him until he calls her name, Mary, Mary. See, we get so caught up sometimes in the things of the world that we too miss the very presence of Christ within us. We miss the presence of God available. Hush, somebody's calling my name. My name, right? We've got to keep our perspective and our consciousness high. We've got to keep our eyes open and our ears open so that we can hear that still small voice. We can hear the call of spirit. Hush, because somebody's calling my name. Today is the day, friends, that we ascend to new heights. Today, more than any other day, we're going to keep our eyes open so that we can truly behold the Christ in his risen, powerful, immortal spirit. Today is the day that we will not be like Peter and the other disciple who saw only the physical remnants. Today, we're going to be like Mary, and we're going to see the spiritual power of God present and active in our lives and in our affairs. Right? You've got to see the angels. Today is the day we know that all is forgiven. I don't care what you've done, how you've been, how you've shown up. Today, you are a new creation, a new creature. You are forgiven, because the scripture says if anyone is in Christ, he or she, right, is new indeed. We have a new life before us. And so stop clinging to the old that has passed away. Lay hold of this new glorious day that is before you. Devote yourself to perceiving the Christ in you, because that will be your hope of glory. Lift your eyes unto the hills. Lift your hearts and your mind. Open your eyes. Open your ears. The heavenly hosts are appearing.
Can you see them?
Yes.
Ah, that's good. Yes. And your name is being called always. Can you hear it? Yes. It's the call that says, wake up, rise up, and ascends to the height, because a new life awaits you. It is a life in Christ. What a glorious morning this is. Happy Resurrection Day. Blessings. Blessings. Namaste. Namaste.